The scripture comes today from the book of Mark, 4th chapter, the 26th through the 34th verses. He also said, "The kingdom of God as is of someone would scatter seeds on the ground, and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes with a sickle, because the harvest has come." He said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which, when sown upon the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of the shrubs, put forth large branches, so the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables he spoke the words of them, and they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. I had one of the weirdest phone calls one night. I was maybe a junior or senior in high school at the time, and I was sitting in my house in the evening, and all of a sudden the house phone started ringing. And I leaned over, and I looked to see who it was, and it said Jessica Christ. Now, Jessica was my youth pastor at the time at the church just up the road. And for many of y'all that have ever gotten a phone call around 7 p.m. by somebody who works at the church, they're fixing to volunteer you for something. So I was a little hesitant to pick it up at first, but I did. And I got on the phone, and I said, "Jessica, hey, what's going on?" She was like, "Arthur, I just got the weirdest phone call." She said, "I just had a complete stranger call me from your cell phone number and ask if I knew how to get in touch with you, that he had your cell phone." So she was like, "I didn't want to give him your house number, so I got his phone number, and here it is, and you can call him and try to get your cell phone. And I hope he's not a serial killer." And I did lose my cell phone, and I had just figured that I had misplaced it at that point. I didn't realize that maybe I had dropped it or I had left it somewhere. And so I was kind of staring at the guy's phone number, and I was like, "All right, let me give him a call, figure out what's going on." So I dialed him up, and it turned out he was just a nice older guy that lived just down the street, maybe like a block or two down the way, and had been driving down, coming back from work, and saw a cell phone in the middle of the road, and it turned out that it was my cell phone. Now I'm guessing I probably left it on the top of the car or something like that before driving off or something like that. And somehow, you know, they don't make phones like this anymore. This was like the old-fashioned Nokia that was like, you charge it and you get like a week out of it. I mean, it was like, somehow the phone had survived in the middle of the road. It had some scratches and dings. He said he even thought it might have been run over at some point. And I said, "Let me come down. Let me pick it up." So hung up the phone, just walked down the street, just a couple blocks to the guy's house, and got my phone. He handed it to me. It was perfect. Now, you have to remember, this is back before they had the passwords and stuff like that you put in your phone. So a stranger pick up your phone, they've got your phone numbers, And really, that's about it. You know, maybe like the high score on like the snake game or something like that. Whatever it is you had on your phone at the time. And I told him, I said, "Man, I really appreciate that. Thank you. I didn't even realize that I had lost it. I thought maybe I just had misplaced it somewhere in the house." And we started saying goodbyes, and I was like, "Man, I gotta ask." I said, "When going through my phone, why would you call my youth pastor, Jessica Christ?" And he was like, "Well," he's like, "I'll tell you." He was like, "When I was going through, I was looking for mom or sister or home or dad or something that would allow me to connect with somebody that I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt would know you. And when I saw J. Christ in your phone, just got to call it, right? Just got to give it a call. So the kingdom of God is like a stranger who will pick up your treasure out of the middle of the road and will call Christ himself to get it to you. In our scripture reading this morning, we find Jesus telling stories and parables. We find Jesus sort of in his element. When it comes to talking and teaching, Jesus finds whatever story he needs to in the moment in order to connect with the audience. If Jesus is talking to fishermen, he talks about fish, he talks about storms, he talks about weather, he talks about nets. When Jesus is talking about people in the city, he talks about people that are gathered around the gateways that are poor. He talks about tax collectors. He talks about boxes. He talks about the crowds. And when Jesus talks to farmers, he talks about seeds. He talks about fruit. He talks about weeds and growing. And so he's telling stories to all these different crowds. And up at this point, he's up around Galilee. And we find him telling a parable or a short story that has a moral or a spiritual point. And most of these parables, you kind of recognize them in Scripture because Jesus is making comparison. He's saying the kingdom of God is like this. And he's trying to create connections out of the experiences and out of the vocabulary and out of the life that the listeners can connect to so very easily. And so he's telling these parables, and he says the kingdom of God is like someone who scatters seed. And as that seed is thrown across the ground, the farmer maybe he goes to sleep. Maybe he spends some time, and he doesn't quite understand how the seed gets buried and nourished and grows, and how it has a stalk and a head and how it grows up. And yet, when the farmer comes, he at least recognizes when it is time for the harvest. And then he takes an example from another seed that perhaps they're so familiar with, the mustard seed. And I wonder if maybe he even had one to kind of illustrate the point like that. But he said, consider the mustard seed. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, the tiniest of all the seeds. And yet from it can be an explosion of something that is so large and so lush that it provides a home and comfort and space to those that are around it. Now, I am not a farmer. My closest experience to farming was getting chased by some cows through a field in Kansas. And so farming parables maybe aren't the language that I typically speak all the time. Do we have anybody in here who's a farmer, who's a gardener, or does a lot of growing? So these parables might speak a little bit more differently to you. You might have different experiences. You might have different images that pop in your mind when Jesus talks about seed or talks about dirt or growing or tilling or harvesting. But no matter the language that Jesus uses in this moment, all of us can relate to the lesson that Jesus begins to unpack in these parables of what it's like to take something in our hands, whether it's a relationship or a project, and do as well as we can to plant it and to grow it. And Lord knows, we don't know anything about what we're doing, and we don't know anything about how to grow it, or we don't know anything about how to do it right. And yet, at some point, we realize and we see when new life has emerged. Or maybe we have a faith that seems so small and fragile, like a mustard seed. Or we have a spot in our lives that whether it's our self-confidence or whether it's the doubt that has us, that we see ourselves as so small and can't even imagine the life that God has bursting out of us that we can give to the world that's around us. You see, we can connect to the lesson, even though the parable might seem a little distant for us here some 2,000 or some odd years later. But parables are all around us. In fact, these stories, these glimpses of the kingdom of God are in each and every one of our lives. And as we read the ones that Jesus has in scriptures, we realize that Jesus has a way of revealing the kingdom of God that is already alive around us. So I had something I wanted to try. And I need a volunteer. All right. Brandon's going to help us out. Brandon's done some preaching on his own, so he's good. All right, Anon, now's the time. Gotcha. Okay. So, Brandon, if you had to pick one word to describe what it is you do, at any point in your life, what is the word that you would pick?
Probably work.
Work?
Yeah.
Okay, what kind of work?
You said one word.
Well, that's not the word that helps with the lesson.
Well, for the past 6 or 8 months, right before I graduated, my work was going to a church several times a week and sharing God's message with them. Throughout my whole life, growing up in this youth group, a lot of the work that I've done is go out into the community or somewhere else away from Alabaster and share his work and use my hands and feet to go do some kind of work, whether it be planting a garden, building a house, fixing a house, whatever. So mostly work with my hands and words, I guess.
Okay. Now, did you see yourself doing that maybe 10 or 15 years ago?
The stuff with my hands, probably. The stuff with my words, probably not.
Okay. So what is it that you would say that God has taught you or has revealed to you over, say, the last year?
Open your eyes and see his presence everywhere.
Okay.
Even when it's hard to see, it's clearly there.
All right, so we have the kingdom of God is like a worker who began to see the world around him in a larger way. Yeah, I'm gonna like totally get into your space, man. I hear you. And what would you say has brought you closer to God out of that?
My family, from my parents to my sister to my blood relatives to the people in this sanctuary and outside of this sanctuary.
Yeah. So the kingdom of God is like a worker who maybe at one time saw himself building something of this world, and yet through knowing God began to see him building something eternal.
Definitely.
All right, amen. Thanks, man. I appreciate that. So whether it is that you're an accountant, or whether it is that you're a mechanic, or whether it is that you're a teacher, or whether it is that you're a parent, or whether it is that you're a friend, God is showing examples of the kingdom around you all the time. These small glimpses of what God can do in your life, of what God has already showing you. Now, I imagine maybe not a lot of the farmers or a lot of the fishermen or a lot of the tax collectors that found themselves in Jesus' crowds often thought when they were scattering seed or as they were dropping off coins or as they were casting nets that they were living out examples of what the kingdom of God could mean in our lives. And yet parables are all around us. They bring us to life. You're going to notice them when you leave this morning. And it's a practice that we begin to play throughout our daily lives. Especially if something irritates us or something annoys us. We begin to see that the kingdom of God is like something that ruined our day. And yet through it, God was able to show us patience or a new relationship. Or something that began to grow out of something that seemed so fragile and so small. You see, God preaches in whatever word that you need to hear in order to understand. There is no excuse, there is no complication that God will put in your way that you need to overcome in order to earn the understanding of the kingdom of God. It is free and it is open to every single one of us, and the world around us is showing us how much God loves you. In our scriptures this morning, we have the perfect example of how God will use whatever story, whatever image, or whatever word to tell us that we might not know the composition of soil, and we might not know the process of photosynthesis, and we might not understand the growth from a sprout to a plant, and yet we recognize when fruit has emerged and new life has been born. And we might never think that we have much potential. We might never think that we can do something in this life to change this world. And yet God says that you have, even if it's the smallest bit of faith or confidence of a mustard seed, that he has a tree of life growing inside of you that will burst forth, and that others may come to know the rest and the comfort and the shade of God because of the faith that you have had to simply plant it in your life. So here in this parable, Jesus preaches a lot about mustard. He doesn't preach at all about ketchup. But he does tell a story of how much he loves you. Will you bow your head with me this morning? Almighty and precious God, we do give you thanks. Lord, we give you thanks for your spirit. We give you thanks for your heart. But Lord, we give you thanks for your word that is buried and planted in our heart, that it might grow plants and fruit that we haven't even imagined yet, and yet we will recognize when new life begins to emerge. Allow us to recognize the world, the parables, the stories that are around us, that we might catch those encouraging and strengthening glimpses of who you are, that the kingdom of God is here around us, and you have a word and a story for each of us. If we will simply look. Lord, allow us to be scattered like seeds in this world, that we might grow faith, that we might grow rest and compassion and mercy, and that others may come to rest in your shade and in your kingdom. As we pray all these things in Jesus' name, amen.